musicians be seated if you'd like to. Sure appreciate you guys being at your post of duty. And I know many of you have worked today and you take care of kids all day. And it's a hot evening, you know, been hot all day. So I know it's a sacrifice. And, you know, that's what makes it a blessing is when there is a sacrifice to come before the Lord. And, you know, sometimes when you're trying to sing and you just can't get the key just right, can't get the tone just right, it's a struggle. You know, life is a struggle, and you know, but it's worth the fight. You see, amen. It really is, and I just want to say that I do count it a privilege to be in the house of the Lord with you this evening. And I believe if each one of us will have an expectation, that God will meet your expectation. Amen. You know, if you come and you come expecting to see Brother Daniel flop, that's what you'll see. If you come to say, you know what, I want to see God, that's what you'll get. You know, if you come, you need healing, you'll leave with healing. Amen. You know, you will get exactly what you expect. And you know, it's the congregation that operate the gift. So I want to ministry tonight on drink and push. Drink and push. And let's go to St. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And just 10 scriptures here. And she'll have them on the multimedia for us also. So let's read this in the name of the Lord. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. And come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he is also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you this evening, and we thank you so much for this time that we get to spend together. And Lord, I know if we just come with the abilities that I have, we will leave a disappointed people. Father, we know that you are the life, Lord. Lord, you are the one that brings life to a service. And Lord God, I ask you that you would help to use my broken words, Lord, to bring forth the message that you have laid on my heart, Lord. I ask you that you would touch every humble heart here this morning, they that are listening or those that may hereafter, Lord, that we could listen with the right attitude, with the right approach, Lord, of not trying to see what I'm trying to say, but to see what is it you're trying to say, Lord. Because you're the one that gives the message, Father. Lord, you're the one that gives life. You're the only one that can do it, Father. And we're dependent 100% on you. We ask you that you would come now and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. And I want to say again, I sure count it a privilege to be among you. You know, I don't think of myself, and I know Brother Tony, he feels the same way. I don't feel like a good preacher or anything like that. You know, I've never have. And we just, you know, we didn't ask ourselves to be a preacher in the first place. You know, I ran from it for a long time. And Brother Tony, I don't know how long you run from it, but I ran for a long time, and I've quit preaching a million times. And the Lord will call me right back and give me something else to say. And I don't know if you've ever done that, Brother Tony, but I've done it many times. I'll just confess it to you. I've said, Lord, I quit. I ain't doing it no more. And then here he comes again. I'm like, okay. You know, it's, and you know, as a Christian, there's many times probably as a Christian, you say, you know what, I can't do it, I quit, and then here it comes again, you just keep moving on, you know, because it's not us that's keeping us, it's Him.
Right.
It's always been Him. Amen. It was Him that called us in the first place, it's Him that keeps us. And, you know, I want to speak to you, I'll say tonight, on drink and push. You know, it's so important that we drink of His presence when He is among us, because, you know, you can be right in His midst and not receive anything. You know, Jesus was walking in the midst of quite a few people that day. And there were certain people that received healing. There were some other people that were at the exact same service. And they said, I didn't get a thing from it, you know. Right. And the difference was, once some were drinking and some weren't. You know, it's all about attitude. Has a lot to do with what you will receive from God.
Amen.
You know, it's very, very important that we humble ourselves, because if you know, if God will humble you, and if we, and he's good at what he does. You know, you look at this earth that God has created. He has created it in such a way and such precision that he has worked for years and years and years and years, season after season after season. It has worked, and the reason is God put it right the first time. So God knows how to do it. So if God knows how to put an earth together like that, how much more can he humble you if he needs to?
Right.
He knows how to humble you with precision. And I say, Lord, I don't want you to humble. I don't want you to have to humble me. I want to humble myself for you, because you created me, God, and you deserve my praise. Amen. I don't want to rob you of any of that. I want to love my wife and my children and my church and my pastor. I want to love them the way God wants me to love them.
Amen.
You know, if we will do it that way, God will bless those relationships.
Right.
But you know, it's this devil. He tries so hard to get us puffed up in our flesh and where we think we know something, and we don't know anything.
Right.
And God will have to remind us, and we'll bring us back down and say, oh God, thank you. Well, I think about Zacchaeus when I say all that. Zacchaeus was a rich man. He was a man that made a lot of money, and he was a short man. And you know, I know there's a lot of times short people are rich. My wife, we fell short on that, didn't we, babe? My wife got the short part, but we didn't get rich. You know, we got the Lord, you know. And I say that to be funny, but you know what? I believe it to be truth. This man was rich. And he was puffed up in himself. He really thought he was something. And in the midst of him being this man that was absolutely successful, maybe without a doubt, with his success that he had, said, you know what? I'm a blessed man, because God has blessed my finances. He's given me this. He's given me that. If he had a furniture store, look how God has blessed me. But you know what? That's not a sign of blessing. Just having financial goodness, I'm going to say, does not mean you've got God's blessing. No more than if you are struggling paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, is that a sign that you have a disapproval of God? That has nothing to do with it. That's an opportunity for us to display our character with what we have.
Right.
You know, if you take somebody I hate to say the word, just a terrible word, but someone that acts like a jerk. You know, because they get a lot of money. You say, you know, money changed them into that. No, money didn't change them. They were that way all the time. Money just magnified it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we really are. Who we are, and whenever we're given something like that, it magnifies who we are. But this man Zacchaeus, he was a very arrogant man. He was somebody that really thought he was something. He had done all these things, and his wife, without a doubt, had gone from service and heard this man Jesus. And she said, you know what, you got to come hear this guy Jesus, because he is quite a man. He is so humble, and he speaks with authority when he speaks. This man Jesus, he's nothing to look at. He's a little bitty man, but when he speaks with authority. Well, Zacchaeus, I'm sure he thought, you know what, I'm in the biggest church in the land. I see all the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they are so intelligent. If there's anybody that's got God, it's these people. But here this woman says, you know what, this man's not a big man. He's a little bitty man. There's nothing to him, but there's something about him. And you know, and this woman began to really pray for her husband. And you know, that's one of the greatest things that we can do is pray. You know, whenever you want your loved ones to be changed, you want your loved ones to serve the Lord, you want to see God in their life because you love them. You know what? The best thing that we can do for them is pray. And here his wife would pray, Lord God, I ask you to get a hold of my husband. I want my husband to have an experience in God. I want him to see. Because God, I saw this little man walk by, and there's something about him, God. And I ask you, God, have mercy upon him. And you know, Zacchaeus, when he got to where he's got so restless, he couldn't sleep at night. You know, he would try to lay in bed, and he'd try to go on thinking about the next sale he's going to do. But here he was just tossing in that bed over and over. He was so uncomfortable. And I'm here to tell you, when God is trying to get a hold of you, you will be uncomfortable.
Right.
You'll be restless. You won't be able to just relax. There's always going to be something pulling on the inside of you. What is it? God is dealing with your heart. And you don't even realize it many times. Many times somebody will go take Tylenol or some kind of sleeping pill or something like that because you think you need to try to go to sleep. There's many times, brother and sister, it's because God is trying to talk to you.
Yeah.
God wants you to get on your knees and speak to him. God wants you to shut everything off and say, God, what is it you're trying to say to me? Because God wants to talk to you. And God wanted to talk to Zacchaeus. God was moving upon him, moving upon him, moving upon him, moving upon him. We don't know how long God. God was moving upon him, and God was moving on him.
Yeah.
Right.
But you know, he heard, here comes Jesus. He heard that this man Jesus is going to come into town. And you know, Zacchaeus had the attitude, I'm going to go straighten this guy out. Because you know what? I know I'm successful. I've got the blessing of the Lord. Don't tell me I don't know who God is. Look at the blessings. Like, here I am snorting like a pig up here. Here he was, you know, Zacchaeus, he was a rich man. He said, look at the blessings I have. I'm going to go straighten this guy out. Zacchaeus had the wrong attitude. And many times, brothers and sisters, we got the wrong attitude. We have got to humble ourselves.
Right.
You know, Zacchaeus come through, he said, you know what, I'm going to straighten him out. And he had his fancy coat on, and I'm going to go over here, I'm going to go talk to them. I'm going to see who this Jesus was. And begin to think, you know what, people might see me interacting with this guy. I don't know if I want to do that or not. I don't really want people seeing me associating with this guy. So you know what? I'm just going to kind of step to the side and just kind of see how I can see. Is there really anything to this guy? Is there really anything to this man Jesus? And Zacchaeus, you know, he looked at this tree and he's a little bitty short man. He said, how am I going to get up in this tree? How am I going to be able to get up there to where I can see what kind of man this is? And he saw some garbage cans sitting beside the tree perhaps. And Zacchaeus says, you know what? I'm going to get on top of these garbage cans, and I'm going to try to get up on top of here. And I imagine he probably fell down and got the garbage on him, and he began to look filthy. And then he's like, you know what? Now people's going to look at me because now I'm filthy. I'm not this real clean person. But there was still something inside Zacchaeus that wanted to see this man, because, you know, at first he thought there's nothing to this guy. There's many times people doubt. The devil will try to hit your mind and tell you there's nothing to this.
Yeah.
But Zacchaeus, he began to climb that tree, and without a doubt, he got all filthy. How many of you ever climbed a tree? Oh yeah, every one of us in here. It's a wonderful thing. That's right, little buddy. They climb tree too. When you climb those trees, what happens when you climb those trees? You get your shirt dirty, you get your pants dirty, and you fall down, then you're all dirty. Zacchaeus did this. This man was climbing this tree, and he was all tore up and everything. And he says, you know what? I'm going to hide from this guy because I don't want Jesus to see me. I want to see him because I'm going to prove this guy's a fake. I'm going to prove there's nothing to this guy. My wife has been wrong. I'm telling you, there's nothing right about this guy. And he got behind those trees, hiding himself, and he began to open it up, and like a little clubhouse. Here he was sitting inside this tree watching Jesus with the intention to see something wrong. He come with a bad attitude. But whenever Jesus saw this woman, he saw the disciples coming around with Jesus coming forth. And here was a woman, or a little child that was sick, that needed healing. This was a child that was on the deathbed that needed to be in a bed somewhere. But yet her mother had faith that my child will be healed if I can just get in the presence of this man. And so this woman brought this child up there to before Jesus, when Jesus was going to come forth. And Zacchaeus, without a doubt, was critical. But then he began to watch Jesus. Catch this now. When he began to watch Jesus, he noticed there's something different about this man. See, there's something different whenever you're just going by words of what somebody says about a person. And then whenever you actually meet the person,
yeah,
and you see the person. And see, Jesus, or Zacchaeus, all he had were words of what people said Jesus was. And he had a different description in his mind. Brother Tony uses the word the other day, and I never can remember the two. That's why he's smarter than I am. One of the words is where you can know the thought, but you can be wrong. The other word is whenever you get the revelation of the thought. I never can get those words right. But does everybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Hey, they had words. He had words from his wife. This is who Jesus is. This is who Jesus is. This is who Jesus is. And she wasn't trying to give him some kind of false doctrine. She was testifying about what she had seen. And Zacchaeus heard those words and built a description in his mind of who this guy Jesus was. So he was determined there's nothing to it. But whenever Zacchaeus saw Jesus himself, everything changed.
decision because he said, you know what? There is something different about this man. And then whenever Jesus come through there and prayed and healed that child right in the midst, he saw healing of God. He saw God manifest. And you know, that's what the people today need to see, brother and sister, is not just words, but they need to see the power of a living God in our midst today. On our daily walk, or whenever you, brother and sister, whenever you are going to the mailbox, when you are going to the grocery store, they can see the power of God in you, in your life. Because you know what? There was something different about that. And here Jesus was, or Zacchaeus was, hiding behind a tree. And imagine, and then his attitude began to change. It's like, you know what? There is something to this. Oh my goodness, I've been wrong. There's so many times that that's the greatest revelation that we can come with is realizing I have been wrong.
Yeah.
My thinking's been wrong. My attitude's been wrong. Because, you know, you can have a bad attitude, and then when someone tries to give you good counsel or give you a good word, you're not going to be able to receive it because you've got a bad attitude.
Right.
And we have to humble ourselves.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? I was wrong. And as he humbled himself, he said, you know, I'm going to hide myself from him. And Jesus knew exactly, don't you catch this now, Jesus knew exactly where Zacchaeus was all the time. Even whenever we are going through a stubborn time in our life and our attitude's not right, we're stubborn, we're just fighting tooth and nail, Jesus knows exactly where we are. And Jesus went right up to Zacchaeus and didn't say, hey man, come out of that tree. He said, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. Jesus knew exactly who he was. Jesus knew exactly where he was. But see, he had to, and my message tonight, brother and sister, is drink and push. See, he had an opportunity right then when the presence unveiled was right in their midst before Zacchaeus. And he said, Zacchaeus, call him by name. Think of it, friends. Zacchaeus, come down here. Salvation's coming to your house. When God calls you brother and sister, it's because God wants to bring salvation to your house. He wants to bring it to your job. He wants to bring it to you where, and through the laundromat. He wants to bring salvation with you wherever you go. Because listen to me, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
You know, talking about words whenever you're doing a witness to something, that it does some, don't get me wrong, it does some. But you know what really does? It's to see the power of the Holy Ghost in your life.
Yeah.
Of an overcoming life. Amen?
Amen?
Brother and sister, that's the greatest thing that we have is our testimony. Of what God is doing in our midst.
Right.
I want to read a scripture, if you don't mind. Let's go to Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is the scriptures for success, brother and sister. If we will abide in his water and drink.
Amen.
But you know what? You can be right with the water and not be drinking. You can be right in a service and say, I'm not getting anything, and somebody else can be in the same service and be drinking.
That's right.
Brother and sister, it's humility. It's where we humble ourselves and say, God, I want to drink from you.
Yeah.
And it's where you've got to look beyond the flesh of a man, beyond of what him, and try to listen. What's he trying to say to me? Because
right.
You have to realize, as I said to you a while back, a few services ago, it's God that sends the message.
Yeah.
It's God that sends the man. And you've got to listen. What's the message? Don't look past the man.
Yeah.
All the way from God. Because it's like throwing a football and halfway and he throws it the rest of the way. It's the same football.
Yeah.
Right.
It's coming from the same one. It's all from God. It's coming from God passing it, God's trying to get the attention, so we have to humble ourselves and say, God, what is it you're trying to tell me in this service?
Yeah.
Amen. So God is a God of contrast. God is a God of variety. He has big mountains. He has deep valleys. And God understands how to make things grow. And he knows where things will grow best. And a tree that's planted by the rivers of the water, it will bring forth fruit in its season. And it will not wither. How many of you want to bear fruit?
Amen.
Truly, from the depths of my heart, I want to bear fruit. I want to be a good Christian. Can you say amen? I want to be a good Christian
amen.
For God. I do. I want to be a good member of the church. I want to be somebody you can count on.
Amen.
I want to be somebody, whenever you see me, you know Brother Daniel's been praying. You know, and I know that's your desire. Well, this is the formula to doing that, brother. So is you must drink of his word. You must drink of his spirit. You must drink of his presence. You must abide in him. Because the more you abide in him, brother and sister, you will not be moved. Amen. And you will bear fruit. You will bear fruit of your season. Trees do not have to figure out how to bear fruit. All they've got to do is abide. Listen to me. You don't have to figure out how you're going to take a body change. You don't. All you've got to do is abide in his presence.
Yeah.
Listen to what the prophet's saying about this. Every apple that's in a tree is in the tree when it's a sprig no more than that. I don't know how big he said it, but we'll just say it. When it's a little bitty branch set in the ground, every bloom that'll ever be in the tree is in it right then. The blooms don't come down out of the air. The bloom don't come up through the ground. The bloom's already in the tree. The apple's already in it. The tree's planted in the ground, and the only thing it has to do is drink. And when it goes to drinking and has to drink more than its portion, and it spreads out, pushes out, and that's the way we're planted in Christ Jesus through the inexhaustible fountain of life, and we start drinking. And the more we drink, we just push out. That's right. It brings out these elements. Think of it. The elements are already inside of it, but whenever you're drinking and pushing, the elements are going to come out of you. You say, I've never received divine healing. It's already in you.
Right.
If you need healing, all you've got to do is abide in his presence and say, Lord, I believe it. I believe it. I don't know how it's going to happen. It's up to God to take care of that.
Right.
It's all you've got to do is believe.
Right.
God, I don't know how I'm going to fill with the Holy Ghost. It's not up to you to figure it out. It's up to you to believe. Because
right.
He's already put everything inside you to make it happen. Amen. He says, and the gift that God has called you to, well, just the trouble of it is you don't drink. That's right. You don't drink. Don't you believe he's an inexhaustible fountain of life? Come to me, all you ends of the world, and drink. The devil don't care how much you come as long as you don't drink. See? You come and drink. That's what this meeting is for now, for you to drink. There's a fountain open, flowing freely everywhere. Just drink till you just can't drink no more. The tree, if it just drink to what its allotment, why, it would just always still in the drought. That's what's the matter with the Christians. They don't drink enough. You want to drink till you just spread out and let somebody else see it, see? Push out. Catch this now. Get a testimony. Commit it to God. Believe it. Step out on it. Claim God's promise. Just commit it to God. Believe it. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. He will bring it to pass, whatever you want. But he can't do it until, as long as you're holding it, say, now I will see if I'm any better and see if this will work. You commit it to him. Forget about the rest of it. God, go testifying of the things you don't even see. You believe it. It's not what you see. It's what you believe. It's not what you feel. He never did say, did you feel it? He said, do you believe it? That's how you're saved is by faith. That's how you're healed is by faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you don't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. You just believe it. Act upon it as though it was. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Brother and sister, the greatest thing that we can do in this life as a Christian is we can create an atmosphere.
Amen.
That's right. We can create, contain, maintain an atmosphere.
Amen.
You can come into a chaotic situation and turn it around. We are amateur gods. You know, the prophet talked about how that one time he'd walked into the house and his wife was stressed out because the babies were crying. They were doing all that they were doing. And his wife was so stressed out. Let me ask you something. Was she backslid? No. She was a mama. You start dealing with babies all the time and see if you don't get a little frustrated.
Right.
Come on, somebody. Yeah. Well, Harriet, I wouldn't spun it up to do. This woman was a mama that loved her babies. She was trying to keep the house clean, but the house was dirty, the babies were crying, all these things were going on, and here he come into the house, and he felt all the friction, all these things, and he could have laid the law down and said, you know what, bless God, you better get this house clean, I'll do the work, and you do the cleaning. That'd be a terrible moment. But you know what he did? He walked in there, and he grabbed a dish, said, you don't even have to be able to sing well. You don't have to be a great singer to bring the presence of God down. You don't even have to hum the song right. Brother and sister, God looks at the attitude of your heart. And whenever you humble yourself before God and your desire is, God, I want your presence in my midst, in my home, in my life, in my wife's life, God will meet you. And he began to do this, and his little wife began to smile. All of a sudden, that atmosphere began to change, and I've seen it in my own home, brother and sister. We can create an atmosphere in our home to where when somebody comes into our home, they recognize there's something different about this house. Because it's the atmosphere you're creating around you. Okay. There's some people you just love to be around. They just want it. Oh, Sister Mary, you just love to be around her. Just such a goodness about her.
Amen.
But you know, there's some people you're around them, and they're good people, but you just don't like to be around them. Why? It's the atmosphere they're creating around them, brother and sister. Because you know what? There's always something negative. Saying something negative. Doing this negative. They're sick. Their leg hurts. You know, hey, how you doing? And next thing you know, you're there for 20 minutes telling you everything that's wrong. We've all done that. I've done it myself. Somebody asked me how I'm doing. I started telling you about everything that's wrong. And the Lord said, oh, I am so sorry, Lord. I had an opportunity there to bring down the blessings of God, and all I did was talk about what's wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We've got a couple of humans in the house. Mm-hmm. Honest ones. You know what, brother and sister? Our attitudes and the way we say, the way we conduct ourselves, it creates an atmosphere around us. And brother and sister, what is that? It's fruit.
Amen.
It's fruit from our life, the way that we're producing. I remember, and me and my brothers were little, we'd go behind my grandma's house, and we'd all take grandma's, my grandma was awesome. Okay, she would all give us all a butcher knife or a machete. They're not that long, and not all grandmas are going to do this, and they're still awesome. But they'll just tell me about my grandma. My grandma would give us these machetes and these butcher knives, and she'd say, go out there and build a clubhouse. She didn't let us sit behind a TV and just play all day long. She'd get outside and play. So, you know, that's what we did. We went out there, and we would chop down these little trees. They're real small, you know, and we would take vines. They had vines in these woods that were so thick and so strong, we could get on top of the tree and act like Tarzan. And we could literally swing from that vine all the way across. And then these big old lilies. Honeysuckles. These big old honeysuckle bushes would be, I'm talking, they were just huge. It looked like something down in some kind of jungle or something. But me and my brothers, we would swing that from that vine onto these bushes, and we'd land on top of that, and you'd smell the honeysuckles. I can smell them right now. I remember we would lay there, me and my brothers, and you know what? Those honeysuckles created something that I wanted to be in. Those honeysuckles were such a good smell. It wasn't the bush that made the smell. It wasn't the vine that made the smell. It wasn't us that made the smell. It was the honeysuckles. Those honeysuckles created an environment. It created an aroma that made us want to be there. And some of me and my brother's greatest memories is laying there on top of those. We didn't have a brain in our head. We would swing from these vines, and I think about it now and I cringe. You know how there could have been a sharp stump sticking out and we could have stabbed us right through the back, or snakes inside there, or spiders inside there? We didn't think nothing about it. We didn't have a fear of one. We'd swing on top of there, like, land on top of that thing and feel the dust going up, birds going up, and we'd smell those honeysuckles. See, the honeysuckles is what made the difference. It was the honeysuckles, brother and sister. And you know, in a home, it's not your chair that makes it a good house. It's not the house that makes it a good home. You know, it's not your clothes that make it. It's Him. It's Jesus Christ in your midst, brother and sister. That's what makes it good.
Amen.
I remember I used to have that 79 Datsun car that was a manual transmission, and it run about a quarter of the time. The battery was bad. I was too broke to afford one. It was just a cheap car, but you know what? I was thankful for that car. I paid $500 for it, and I drove it for a long time. The bad thing about it is because the battery was dead, you'd have to pop the clutch to get it to start. Any of y'all ever done that? Yeah, Brother Tony knows what I'm talking about. Well, the unbad thing was I would try to get my wife to know how to do it, figure it out, and she couldn't figure it out. She could not figure out how to pop that clutch. So guess what we had to do? I had to get inside the car while she pushed it. I would remember we'd be on Almond. I'd open that door up, and I'd be pushing as hard as I could, and I'd try to jump inside the car fast enough to pop the gear in second gear. And whenever I'd do that, my wife would not be pushing, and it would not work. And I'd have to get back outside the car over and over and over. And you talk about frustration. I just want to go to work. And I've got to push this car and have my wife push the car. And we look ridiculous. Imagine a 6-foot guy. Back then, I probably weighed about 225 pounds. And then this little bitty woman, probably 150 pounds. About what she weighs right now, I'd say. But here we are. We look absolutely ridiculous. But you know what? It was times of absolute frustrations. But you know what? I knew enough about it. I am not going to allow this to defeat me. I will not.
Right.
Despite what I'm going through, I am going to praise the Lord.
Amen.
And you know, we would sing. We did not have a radio at all. Didn't have one. And I remember we were going over Garrison Bridge one time, and all the kids were in the back, and we were just a singing of a storm. And you've heard Brother Daniel sing, it ain't good. But you know, I'd be praising the Lord, and that thing was backfiring, going over that bridge. You know, I was one of them, one of them. And we're just going, and smoke going out everywhere, and we're just praising God. We said, praise God, because you know, I felt His presence. I had the most beautiful wife I could ever ask for. My children loved me. We know we had, what more could we need? We were so happy. We were praising the Lord, singing this song. And I noticed this car come up beside us. And I thought they were going to sing with us too. But you know what they did? They started taking pictures. And I was like, wow, look at this. They thought that was, I don't know what they thought was more crazy. The car that was running by absolute miracle, all of us were happy or looking at me singing. I don't know. It probably was all of it. But you know what? We were happy, brother and sister. It didn't have nothing to do with having money. It didn't have anything to do with having my car. I promise you. It was Him.
Yeah.
It was the honeysuckle that was right with us, brother and sister. And I was drinking from that presence. And I remember having people telling me a testimony. I'm not trying to put the best testimony you can give is your own of what you've. I had a brother come to me that had a nice truck. I'm talking a nice one. He came to me and put his arm around me. He said, Brother Daniel, you may not know this. You're one of the richest men I know. And I'm looking over at my car. And I know I ain't got enough money to, I don't even know how we're going to get me to work this week. He said, you're one of the richest men I know. He said, you were always happy. He said, you don't let it get you down. You praise God. You sing. He said, you drive that. I said, yeah. He said, you were rich. And I say this, brother and sister, because we got to remember who it is that keeps us ticking.
Yeah.
It's Him.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not our job. It's not our money. It's not having a big church. It's having him.
Amen.
And whenever we will all focus on that, and we're drinking from that, and we're just pushing out the life automatically.
Amen.
You know, a tree that whenever fall comes or when spring comes, when spring begins to come, those old dead leaves, that tree, you don't have to go out there and pull them off. Brother Tony's got trees out in his yard, oak trees. You don't see him and Sister Elise out there pulling leaves off. You know what they do? That tree just drinks and pushes. And that old life just falls away, and the new life just automatically comes. See, you don't have to make yourself quit doing stuff. Just drink. Just abide in his presence. Because when you abide in his presence, brother and sister, your old life will fall away. And his new life will come inside of you. Because it's not you, it's him. You know what? I want to nail something down right here. Because you don't do certain things, that's not what saves you. That has nothing to do with it. You're saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they would take that lamb, and the priest would look at the lamb that's without blemish. He would inspect that lamb and make sure that lamb is a good lamb. And once he saw that lamb was acceptable, they would take that lamb and put it on the altar and cut its throat. That's a terrible thing. They would cut his throat, and his blood would come out of that lamb, and that worshiper would put his hands upon that lamb. And that blood would come upon that lamb. And that worshiper was identified with his sacrifice. And his sins were covered for a year. But you see, whatever desires he had, he still had the desires. Because that could not change his desires. It just covered his sin. But here comes Jesus Christ, our great honeysuckle.
Amen.
And whenever he come, brother and sister, he was a lamb without blemish.
Amen.
Pilate had to testify. I find no fault in this man. When Jesus Christ, brother and sister, whenever he died, he didn't just cover our sin, he destroyed our sin.
Amen.
And he changed our desires. I don't want to do those things anymore. From my heart, I don't want to do those things anymore. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He changed your nature, brother and sister. That's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he don't just cover it, it's gone.
Amen.
Destroyed.
Amen.
Boom. He said, boom. There you go. It makes me happy. You're looking at a man that's full of failures. If I was depending on my righteousness, brother and sister, there ain't a chance. I fall on my face every single day, and by his grace, he picks me up every morning. He says, you are my son.
Amen.
Every day I look in the mirror. I know the real me. I know the failures I have. Can you say amen for yourself?
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I'm not saying I go out and do stuff. You know what I'm talking about. I'm a human. And as long as you're a human, this guy right here is your worst enemy.
Yeah.
We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's it.
Amen.
It is by his mercy.
Amen.
And because he does it, it makes me want to live for him.
Amen.
It makes me want to do good for him, you know? You know, if you get broke down on the side of the road and somebody comes and helps you out, you want to help that person, right? You want to say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I was broke down, brother and sister. I didn't have a chance. And here he come. He picked me up.
Amen.
He dusted me off and said, you're a son of God.
Amen.
And I'm going to show you things in your life that you didn't even know were there.
Amen.
Brother Brennan talked about how that tree had the elements already inside of it, but all he had to do is drink and push.
Amen.
Zacchaeus had everything he needed inside of him to be a son of God. Everything already, but he had to come in the presence of the honeysuckle.
Mm-hmm.
He had to come in the presence of the one. But just coming in his presence is not enough. When you come into his presence, when his presence comes in your life, this is so important to catch this part of the service.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever his presence will come as a visitation to you, God will come to you in waves. God will come speak to you on a daily basis. It may be at night, it may be during the day, it'll be during church services. God will come to you in waves, and your attitude to that visitation, when God comes to you, brother and sister, that's the time to drink.
Amen.
When God comes in your presence, you need to be watching for God, because when you're watching for his presence on a daily basis, you're looking for him, you're seeking him, you're walking in the Spirit. They that walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, brother and sister. When we are walking in His Spirit, God will bring waves and you'll catch it. That's Him. And you drink from that presence. When you do that, brother and sister, you're going to see fruit coming out of your life that you didn't even know was possible.
Amen.
Right. I'm going to give you a little testimony just real quick. I know I'm way over time, but please, let me get just a little bit, okay? Just a little more. I was at work today, and I'm talking about, and I'm just abiding in God's presence, as we do, as Christians. How many knows what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Just walking in His Word, and it's a stressful day. I've got a lot of work going on. God's blessed the sales, so it's a lot of work to try to keep up with it. There's this man I'm working with, and he's as rough can get. He's got this big old goatee and real deep voice, real muscular guy, real deep voice. And I saw his driver's license. I didn't believe it was him at first because he was a clean-cut guy, and there's this guy. I was like, he started laughing. That's me. I said, wow, it don't look like you. And he's got the coolest beard I've ever seen. It was a beard like way down here. It had like a diamond right here, white. And he said, man, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I was a... You get the picture. Deep boys, he said, I was at Walmart somewhere, and somebody said, where do you get your beard dyed? He said, are you kidding me, man? Do I look like a guy that dyes my beard, man? Like, no, you don't. He said, no, I don't, man. This is who I am. It's natural. This guy was just as rough as can be, and when I first began talking, he would use bad language, certain things like that. And you know, because we don't live in a perfect world, okay? We live in a world where people use bad language, we interact with bad stuff. That does not change who we are. We can change the atmosphere.
Amen.
And I just get honest, Lord Jesus, and I just hate that. You know, the word of the say. And we've got almost all the way through this deal, and it's one problem after another. This truck, I try to get everything fixed and just find something wrong with the truck. And I wanted, when I sell a vehicle, I want it to be a blessing. I want to do it where God can say, I put my approval on this. And I try to do everything. The Lord knows that's the truth. Thing just going wrong. It was kind of a stressful. I get inside the truck, talk about something. He said, hey, man, I'm going to tell you something. Real deep voice. He said, I don't want to sound weird when I say this, man. He said, you got a love about you, man. He said, every time I'm around you, he said, there's a love. He said, it's like a, I don't want to sound weird, but it's like a gentleness. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. I gave my heart to God. I was 18 years old. He said, I knew it. He said, I've seen a lot of fake, but what you got is real. I said, buddy, I'm telling you what, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
And I began to just break bread with him and talk to him about how that we've got to have a lamb nature down here because he's a dove. He said, yeah, man, I get that. I said, this dove will come down. I said, but if you have a wolf nature, he will leave every time. And he said, I've got real water. He said, I felt that. I said, where are you getting this stuff, man? I said, we've got a message. I said, but you know what? It's more than that. It's having Him. You've got to have Jesus Christ in your life. Yeah. And I say that, brother, sister, because I'm trying to tell you, we can create an atmosphere around us where a lot of times you don't feel like you're doing nothing. I didn't feel like I was doing anything. I felt like I was probably a wreck because I'm trying to get this stuff going. And in the midst of my chaos, there was an atmosphere around me, and He was recognizing that atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Brother and sister, listen to me. That is you. Okay? You are a child of God. You are a son and daughter of God. And whenever you're going through the trial of the day, there's many times you feel like you are utterly failing. Mm-hmm. Can you say amen?
Amen?
There will be moments in your life you feel I am utterly failing. God knows exactly where you're at. Mm-hmm. And He wants to give you. He wants you. He wants to give you a drink. He wants you to draw from His presence. Because whenever you will draw from His presence, brother and sister, it works.
Amen.
You will have a new life coming out of you, and all those things where you feel flat on your face, there's been times whenever you knew you shouldn't have done it, but you did it anyway. He was bruised for our iniquities.
Amen.
And He said, He's so merciful. And whenever you say, Lord, please forgive me. I don't want to do that. I am so sorry. Lord, God knows right where you're at. And if you'll say, Lord, forgive me, I believe right then it's over. Amen. Let's all stand. Brother and sister, I want to drink from you.
Amen.
I want to see you drink from it. Because if you will drink from His presence and you will draw from His presence, listen to me, it is the honeysuckle in your life is what people will be attracted to.
Amen.
It's the honeysuckle. It's the word. And I'm talking about your believers will be attracted to that. Now the world, I don't mean this to be critical, but the world will not be attracted to this word. Because listen to me. Catch what I'm saying. And it's very important you catch this. If the world wanted to be around the God inside you, they would want to be in church. They would want to hear the word.
Amen.
Okay? So they're being attracted to something. And who we hang around, the time we spend around, they will influence you.
Yeah.
We must be the influence.
Amen.
And we can't do it. It takes him.
Yeah.
So when we are abiding in his presence and we're walking in his spirit. See, I could have went with him on his way and started doing, but I said, I'm not doing that. I'm not allowing that to alter me. This is my altar right here.
Amen.
It's my altar there, and it's also my altar of my walk with the Lord. This right here, brother and sister, whenever we're abiding in his presence, God wants to work in our life. Can you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's let our musician come forth. We want to create an atmosphere around us. We want to have the right attitude. We want to approach God the right way. I want to look at my brother and my sisters. I want to look at you in the right way.
Amen.
Amen. I want to, and I know you feel the same way. We want to look at each other with the right humility to where I see you as a son of God. I see you as a daughter of God. I see the God inside you. And I want to hear this again because I know the devil. Catch this. The times whenever you feel like you are utterly failing, God is not reminding you of the failure you are. God will always draw you back to repentance. Back to repentance. Back to a holy life. Back to a holy life. That thing that drives you away isn't the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I love you tonight. And I know I've probably chopped this message up just so much. Lord, and I just ask you to forgive me, Lord. Lord, I just want them to see you, Lord. I want to see, Lord, them to see you the way that you've allowed me to see you, Lord Jesus. That you are the honeysuckle of my life, Lord. I love my wife. I love my children. I love the things you've given me in this life. I love my people, my church here, Lord. But, Lord, you're the honeysuckle. Lord, my wife can give me a temporal pleasure in this life of our walk together, our communion together. My friends can be temporal. Fishing can be temporal. Going camping can be temporal. But Lord, it ends. But God, you return, Father, and you don't change. Oh, you are the great honeysuckle, Father. I ask you, Lord, that you would just come into this building this evening, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would just drop down right now with this service, Lord, and you would just touch hearts, Lord. Father, that we can look at you, that we can drink from your presence, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you would help us with our attitude, Lord. Help us to humble ourselves before you, Lord God. Help us to walk in your spirit, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask you, reign upon our lives, Lord. I ask you to conquer anything that's unlike you, Lord. Search our heart, Lord. Lord, we don't want you just to save us, but we want you to be the Lord of our house, Lord. Lord, Lord of our home, Lord of our church, Lord. Lord of our relationships, God. Lord of our children. Lord, Lord of our finances, Father. Lord, we in ourselves, we make a mess of everything. But God, I know you are a God of restoration. I ask you, Father, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You know, you get into the presence of the Lord and it is easy to say, I'm sorry. You get into the presence of the Lord, it's easy to make things right. And you can't be negative when you're in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
You know? Amen. So that's something you find out to be true with your walk. You know, there's a lot of people out there in the world that profess Christianity. But the people that, like, for instance, the place you work or whatever, a lot of people, then you hear them, they identify with it, but you also hear their language and you hear what they talk about, and you know. But I'm going to tell you what, other people out there, they know when they see something real. That's right. I gave a prayer request for the guy that at work. You know, he came to me at lunchtime, came to my office because he wanted to talk to me and get advice from me about what he needed to do, you know. And so you always want to be there. You want to live and be there. The pilots of this world will not find fault in you. with the religious will.
That's right.
Think about it. We're not trying to satisfy anybody but God.
Amen.
Right? And God wants us to live in such a way that it's drawing. Right? As Brother Daniel was talking about that apple tree drinking in. You know, it's got the genetics in it to make all those apples.
That's right.
But it can't do it unless it drinks in the water, takes in the sunshine.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? And so you are predestinated son and daughter of God, but you must drink in the presence of God. And then all you can do is produce what that gene in you will produce.
Amen.
A real genuine life. We just really appreciate the thing Brother Daniel had to share with us tonight. And Brother Daniel said, you was talking about all the blessings and your children love you. And you said, what else do I need? Well, you need grandchildren who love you. Brother, that's another step up. That's another level.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, let's sing 354 just before we go.